guys like the new stage? Do you like, I mean, the back wall? Some of you are so tired when you come in for the 9 o'clock, you didn't even know we changed the back wall. They do something different? Like, yeah, we a lot. And but thank you to Leanne Bush. She heads up our staging team. And she had David, her husband, up here helping her. Danny Rosas helping her. And also Elizabeth Lucius back here. They helped and did all this yesterday. Worked very hard. Went and liberated pallets from some place they did not feel needed them any longer. No, they were given pallets to use. And took them apart. So Leanne and David are from West Virginia. So I said, actually what happened was they finally tore down their outhouse and used the part. But that's not what happened. They still need their outhouse. They're going to get sewage and plumbing someday. They're committed to that, I think. But all right, anyway, so today is Vision Sunday, and this is a time where once a year we just stop and celebrate what God's been doing. We look ahead to what God is calling us to, and we just ask God's blessing over all of that. And I don't want you to get confused on that. It's not like we say, God, here are our plans. This is what we're going to do. So if you would get on board, God, and bless that, we would certainly appreciate it. We really try to seek God throughout the year, and as we're kind of coming into this season through the summer, and say, God, what is it that you're wanting to do through us? What is it that you're calling us to? And then we want to follow you into that. And I know if we do that, God will bless it. His presence will be here. His anointing will be on it. So that really is kind of the way we approach that. But if you're new to Crossroads or aren't familiar with how things kind of operate at this level here, our ministry year starts on September the 1st. We wrap up on the last day of August, and first day of September is a new ministry year where everything kind of restarts again for every ministry in the church. So our budgeting follows that, our calendaring and kind of planning follows that because school starts then, and it just seems like a more natural flow for us than the actual, you know, calendar year of January when we're coming out of the holidays and we don't want to plan anything during the holidays. We're exhausted and we're like on sugar highs and we would plan the wrong thing and reading too much king cake. And so we're like, that's not the best time for us to plan. So the summer, kind of spring, summer is a good time for us to plan for the next year. So that's what today is all about. And I just wanted to take a moment before we dive into some of the places God is taking us to say thank you to all of you for your part in this. And if you've been around Crossroads and anything you've done or given or just in any way that you've made a contribution, just being here and loving on people, you know, whatever you've done, thank you so much. We are a family. We're a ministry together. We're a staff-led church with elder oversight, but the people who actually do the ministry in this church are you guys, and you're the ones who are out there making it happen. So just thank you so much for all that you do and all the ways you serve, and I know you do it for God and not for us, but I just want you to know as your pastor, I love what you guys do. I love the level of commitment that so many of you have, and so thank you. God bless you guys for all of that. So I wanted to look back, first of all, we'll put it up on the screen here. You don't have an outline today because we gave you too many other things coming in to give you something else, but just to look back with grateful hearts and be very careful as we do look back over the last year, just to give God all the thanks, give God all the gratitude, give God all the credit, give him all the glory. I don't have any interest in having my name on a sign or on the building or on you know, your shirts or anything. This is everything we do here is not for any of us. It's all for God, right? And all of you who lead ministry teams, it's not for you. It's all to help people get closer to Jesus. It's all for his credit and all for his glory. So we just want to look back for just a moment and do that. So we gave you something. We didn't know what to call this. We tried to come up with a clever, cutesy, cool name. And I said, you know what? Crossroads Annual Report is just very clear. So I chose clarity over cute and clever. You know. So I just said, we'll just call it the Annual Report, and you know, like a shareholder would get or something like that, you know, for some stocks you own or some mutual fund or something. So that's what we named it. If you come up with a cool name, let me know that actually is clear. It can't be like you know, the Trifold Report. Well, it's got to be something cool and crisp and clear and clean. If you come up with one, let me know. Maybe we'll use that next year. But anyway, Megan put this together, and thank you to Megan. She did a phenomenal job on this. We looked at this as a staff on Tuesday. We're like, wow, we thought this was going to be like black and white and boring, which I don't know why we thought that with Megan, that it would ever be like that, but she did a phenomenal job putting this together. So just a few things on the inside. There's just a timeline there for this past year that shows you a lot of the things that we were connected with, a lot of the stuff that we had the privilege to do in the form of ministry. And this covers everything from kids stuff ministry to J6 to adult ministry to things we did in disaster relief and missions trips and things like that. So that's just kind of a timeline. And I often am moving way too fast just to stop and appreciate the good things that have happened, you know. If you're on Facebook or Instagram and you follow myself or Sharon, you probably saw yesterday that our youngest son, our baby boy, finally got his license, and he could have had it a lot longer ago. I just have, like, used every delay tactic I could think of, and not because I don't want him driving, because I don't want to pay the insurance. It's crazy. You know, it's we're going to take an offering for that in just a little bit. So it's insane what it costs to add a 16-year-old on your policy, especially when you already have a 23-year-old on your policy in New Orleans, of all places. So what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, that you have to just stop and look back sometimes and just say, thank you, God, you know. And if there's one plus to Facebook, it's that, like, every week, or really like every day, they'll put up, we've been on it long enough now, we'll get these Facebook memories, and be like 7 years ago in Montana or whatever, and like, gosh, look how small they were. And, it, you know, it's just, I love that. I like to just stop every now and then and look back, but I'm not especially good at it, because I'm always looking ahead and doing a lot of stuff right now. I'm I get distracted easily, and I'm a pretty busy person, so that's kind of the deal. So we just want to celebrate all the good stuff God did. And if you just think back to Hurricane Harvey and all that we got to be a part of in that, and the people we got to help and bless as a part of that, and your giving was a big part of that, that was an amazing deal. We look at new ministries that have started up this year, like Celebrate Recovery, and the people that is helping here in our family and in our community, and that's a beautiful thing, you know. So there's a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot to celebrate that God has done and that we've had the privilege to be a part of. So spend some time with that and just give God thanks. We're thankful that we finally got rid of our skanky old carpet in here, and it's still in my office, by the way. we got rid of it in here, and we've painted most of the stuff, and the parking lot's coming around. Once we get the drainage fixed out there and everything kind of painted, it's going to be really nice. And so it's looking great, and there's still more to do, but it's coming around. We're just thankful for what we have been able to do this year. So a lot of cool blessings. Our students went off to Cuba again, and I got to go with them. That was awesome. So a lot of great things have happened this year. So at the end of the service, we're just going to pray together, and part of what we'll do is we're just going to say, thank you, God. You know, we give you all the glory, all the thanks, all the praise for what you've been doing. Also on the back side, if you just want to see, we kind of have this vision here that says we want to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're all about, and we break that down into like four different objectives with that. We want to help people get to know God, and so Sunday mornings is where that primarily happens at. It happens at a lot of places, so we'll tell you a little bit about Sunday mornings there. We want to help people find freedom. That happens primarily through small groups and then through our restoration ministry. Had over 200 people receive restoration Beth Shalom sessions this past year, which is amazing, and those weren't all Crossroads people. The majority of those are people who just get, we don't know who they are. They just get sent to us. They show up at our door, and they call and say, we were told to come to you for some therapy prayer or something, and I'm like, well, that's not what it is, but let me tell you what it is. And so we've seen tremendous freedom for a couple hundred people now. It's been an amazing deal to be a part of that this year. And so helping people get to know God, helping people find freedom, helping people discover purpose through our growth track, which is where you come in on the first Sunday of the month. You can you know, you missed the kind of this month already, but you can kick this off in September if you'd like to. You know, just come in and just kind of get to figure out what does it mean to even be a Christ follower? What does that even look like? You know, that's what we talk about in week one, step one. And baptism, we teach you about all that and kind of what is that all about? Because many of you maybe were raised in churches where your view of baptism was totally different than ours, and how you did it was totally different than how we do that here. So we explain all that to you there. So it's just kind of, this is what it looks like to follow God. This is what it looks like to really connect in your heart personally to Jesus Christ. This is what that looks like. And then week two, step two, which is always typically the second Sunday of the month, is all about figuring out, okay, is this the church I want to be a part of? Is this the church God wants me to be a part of? Because you may date us for a few weeks and like, nah, I'm dropping them, you know, and that's fine, that's okay. Don't talk about us bad about us when you leave, that's okay. And but God may move you on to someplace else, but we want you to understand what Crossroads is all about before you commit to Crossroads. And so that's what step two is about. We also talked to you in there about this whole idea of finding freedom by connecting with a few people in like a small group or a ministry team where you really get to know them, they get to know you, and you can be honest about what your struggles are. And they're not going to condemn you and judge you and run you out. They're going to love you and use the wisdom from their own mistakes and their journey to help you get to freedom, to get past that, to grow beyond that, to get onto life and blessing and something good. So small groups are pivotal for that. So we talk about that and restoration ministry also, Beth Shalom ministry also in step two. And then step three is just all about discovering your purpose. And then once you know your purpose, actually plugging in and step four and making a difference, helping you get plugged in to actually do something around here to make a difference. So a lot of ways God has shown up in the vision piece and really done some amazing things. You can read about that. Also in the middle section, there's the finance piece there. If you're wondering how are we doing financially and all that, some good things on finances. The building, the property, and all that pays off in March, and so that'll be good. That'll be nice. Maybe Jill can finally take her SeaWorld trip. So we have our children's pastor all the time brings up, could we budget some money for me to go to SeaWorld? And she's just kidding, but it's like, Jill, if you go to a zoo or a place like that, you probably will not come home. So you need to not do that. And so anyway, so she's very. Well, you're very entertaining. They would want you on staff. You're very entertaining, so they would want you there. So, but this is just an idea of, or not an idea. This is the actual numbers for everything this year and how that's played out. If you're wanting to know what like non-designated is, that's just like your general tithes and offerings that are not designated to something specific. Like, you may designate money towards Orphan Relief and Rescue. You may designate money towards J6. Kids going to camp or a Cuba trip or something very specific that you designate that or building. We've done all the campus excellence projects here. So you have things that are designated, and if you designate it, we'll use it in those designated areas. And, unless it's something we don't even do, then I'll just call you and say, hey, we don't even do that, but could we use your money someplace else? And I've talked to you about that. But so you have designated, and then you have non-designated, and then you have your total. And you'll see down there just kind of a staff snapshot and kind of how we approach ministry just a little bit as a staff and some of the things we've been able to do this past year. And we'll just say with that, we really are committed to every time you give those non-designated dollars, out of that, 10% of that we're going to send outside of Crossroads. So 3% is going to go to ministries in our local community. So things like Filling the Gap, things like Camp Pearl, things like, what else I have up there? Is that up there? Did I put it on the screen? Let's see. There we go, local. Moss Bluff Community Chest. Moss Bluff Community Chest is where people call us and they want assistance of some kind. We don't have any way to screen them. We don't know who else they've been hitting up. We don't know if it's legit or not. So we just give money to Moss Bluff Community Chest. And then they have a way to kind of filter that and say, okay, is this someone who's just trying to take advantage or is this a real need? They have a way of doing that. So we support them. Filling the Gap helps adopted parents actually fill in the gaps for the things that the state does not cover for furnishings and clothing and some of those things that the state does not give them when they take a child into their home in the adoptive care program. So Camp Pearl is where our kids go for camp. We'd like to help them out some this year. That's a new partner for us. Nationally, as far as our national missions, we have local and then we have national. National, we partner with the Association of Related Churches, and they do church planting all over the country. They have like a 96% success rate, I think, on their plants. It's amazing what they've done. They've planted almost 700 churches now. It's where we receive a lot of our training as a staff is from the ARC churches. We've learned quite a bit from them about about what we do around here. So we support them and their efforts to plant churches nationally. We also support the Beth Shalom Ministry, who out of Staples, Texas, they're the ones who train us and equip us and then equip us actually to equip others to do this ministry that has been so freeing and so restoring for so many people. So we support them. And then we have the international piece, and 3% of that 10% goes to the international side, and that's going to be Orphan Relief and Rescue and their work in West Africa, and then also Servant Life, and they do stuff all over the world, but we specifically target what they do in Cuba. That's kind of where we're partnering with them at, so you'll hear more about that in just a moment. So 10% of everything goes there, so that's 3%, 3%, 3%, which adds up to how many percents? Y'all are so much smarter than the second service, at least one of you is. Okay, so 9%, so that leaves 1%. So 10% of that 10%, or 1% of the total, just stays there, and that goes into what we call the That Day Fund. Hurricane Harvey was one of those That Day days, okay? So we'll have emergencies that come up. Someone's house may burn down. There may be some other type of national emergency or international emergency that we want to give towards and help out with. And so we keep that money there just for that day that we hope never comes. But if it does come, we'll spend it on that kind of thing. So that's where that all goes. Some of our legacy partners. So anyway, all that is a lot of that is kind of referred to in here, and you talk about designated, non-designated, and all that. That's where some of that is. Okay, so spend some time with that. Begin to pray over that. We'll be doing some of these things next year. We'll be doing some new things God's calling us into next year. But it's beautiful just to say thank you, God, for what you've done. So are y'all thankful for what God has done? It's good stuff, huh? Good stuff. Good stuff. All righty. So look back with grateful hearts and give God all the glory. And then look ahead. Oh, that's why I confused her on the slides. I'm so sorry up there, Gabby. Okay. Look ahead with great expectation and commit ourselves to do our part. That would be the next piece. Look ahead with great expectation and commit ourselves to do our part. And I want to just really challenge you and encourage you to do your part, whatever that is. Whatever that is. We'll look at the scripture in just a moment where you'll see that can be a wide variety of things. But just find out what your part is. What is your role? And play it. Do it. Okay? I encourage you not to be a consumer Christian. Consumer Christians are the ones, consumer churchgoers are the ones who just go like they go to Walmart or like they go to one of our restaurants where it's like, okay, what's in it for me? How are you going to serve me? How are you going to take care of me? And I understand there are seasons in life where you need that. You need people just to care for you. And we're here to do that, and we do that all the time. But there also comes a point where you get healed up, you get restored, and it's like, hey, this is not just some church I visit every now and then. This is my church family. This is my tribe. These are my people. This is what I'm called to be a part of. And if you're a Christ follower, you are called to be an active participant, an active part, an active body part within a local church family. So you can go read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, learn a lot more about that. But the analogy Paul uses is that every one of you has a role to play. You know, eyes, ears, nose, bottom of the feet, whatever. Everybody has a role to play. We're all part of the body, but you have to choose to figure out what that is and then participate and actually do your part. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're a consumer Christian, I'm not even sure, you know, that's definitely not what God has called you to, okay? It's not for you just to take in. Be a part of what God is doing to reach out and to make a difference in the lives of other people. And I tell you, it's hard work. It's not like it's easy. It's hard work. It can be exhausting sometimes. But when you get to join God in what He is doing on the planet, it's very fulfilling. When you get to be a part of a win and seeing, you know, people come to faith in Jesus Christ, seeing kids go down to Cuba and make a difference down there and change lives for all eternity down there, when you get to be a part of that for whatever small part you played in that, just by making somebody feel welcome here on a Sunday morning or choosing to use your gifts on this stage or whatever that might be, my goodness, that's very fulfilling. It's like I got to be a part of something big that God was doing. So just find your part, you know. Don't just warm a seat and take up oxygen, okay? Find your part. You're called to more than that. You're called to more than that. So a passage of scripture that talks about this is Romans 12:8, and Paul's writing, and he says, basically, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So we all have gifts. We all have abilities. We all have talents. We all have experiences. We all have passions, and they're very unique. They're different. None are better than any of the others. It's just that's the one God, by His grace, has entrusted you with. And the deal is, He's entrusted you with it. And so you got to do something with that. Whatever that gift is, those talents are, those abilities are, that passion is, those experience that you've had in life have kind of informed you to be all of that stuff makes up who you are. And God says, hey, whatever that is, you know, you don't have to be the one up here playing keys and singing out loud. You might be, but whatever that is for you, find that place and then do that thing that I created you to do. Figure that out. And so he says that. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he just talks about some of those, not all, but you know, there are other lists in scriptures in 1 Peter 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 and other places. But he says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, this is not rocket science. If your gift is serving, then serve, right? I mean, just do something with that gift. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. Some people have the gift of giving. I know some people who just have the ability to make money. They just, you know, I invest in something and the stock goes down like the next day. And it's like, good night. They're going out of business. When? You know? And some of you, as soon as you buy the stocks, like the next day, they get bought out for twice what you bought it for. And you just have this ability to make money. You have that. And oftentimes with that is this gift of generosity. Some of us have the gift of generosity, but we don't have anything to be generous with. Okay, so some of you do. You have the ability to like, I'd love to give it all away as long as it's their money. But right? Yeah, so but the idea is some of you have that ability. So if you have that ability to make money and God gives you that gift of generosity, then give based on that. Give generously. If it is the lead, then do it diligently. In just a few moments, you'll see our serve team leaders, our ministry team leaders for this next ministry season, and we're going to pray over them. We're going to commission them and pray over them. And as a leader in any of the ministries here, you know, of any of the teams or any of the sub-ministries within each of the teams that we have, if you're a leader, lead diligently. Lead to the best of your ability, you know. Lead as though heaven and hell hang in the balance, because they do. You know, so lead to the best of your ability. Lead diligently. And if it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Sometimes when your gift is to show mercy, it's hard to do that cheerfully because you are dealing with people who need a lot of mercy. And I had to explain that to a lady the other day at the gym, Miss Johnny, bless her heart. So if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Romans 12:8. So as you can see in that, there are lots of different gifts. There are lots of different ways to serve. There are lots of different angles. And all God says is you don't have to do them all. You don't have to exhaust yourself all the time. You don't have to be at the church every time the doors are open. But you do have to figure out what is your gifting? What are your passions? What is it I put you on the planet to do? And then do those things. Just begin to do those things. So I encourage you again, just do your part. So I mentioned our team leaders. I want to introduce them to you for this next ministry year. And they're just going to come up on the stage and you guys just start coming your way on up. You don't have to, wait till I call your names. All you ministry team leaders, just come stand right across the front here. But I will introduce them up here. So Glenn Franklin heads up our armor bearers. And Glenn's not smiling. That must have been right after we took away his Santa suit, after Santa Glenn went away. And he was in post-Santa depression right there. But Glenn's a happy guy. Okay, so Glenn heads up. Glenn heads up our Robert Boudreaux. Next year, everybody has a smile for the pictures. Okay, so he heads up our armor bearers team, and they pray with me every Sunday morning. Aren't you a happy guy, Glenn?
That's right.
He's a happy guy. All right, so he heads up our maintenance team. So if you like to fix stuff and can fix stuff around here, see Glenn. He could definitely use you. We have a light that's also serving as a water faucet out in the other building, so we need somebody to look at that. He also heads up our men's ministry. So Glenn Franklin does all that. Well, no, we just said you didn't look happy. It's not even into hunting season when you took that picture. I don't know what happened. Okay, all right. So Glenn heads all that up. We have our new ministry we just started this year called Celebrate Recovery. And Amanda right here heads that up. Phenomenal ministry. We also have our Connections Women's Ministry, and which Crystal, there she is, right here. Crystal heads that up. Crystal Savant, and heads it up. And we have Crossroads Cares that does all kinds of things to, they're almost kind of like part of our local outreach. They really are. They do a lot of things locally in our community, but we said we call that outreach. We just call that part of what we do. But anyway, so Mary Doge heads that up. So if you love to prepare meals and help out and just try to make a difference in our community, see Mary. That's what she's all about. And also we have our Crossroads Cooks. He's happy. Look at him. You must have just had biscuits and gravy. Okay. All right. So your biscuits and gravy. And if he had eaten mine, he wouldn't be smiling like that. Okay, so, and then we have Crossroads Food and Flowers, and Dana Howard heads that up right here, and she does a great job with that, and that just gets meals out to people coming out of the hospital and things like that, or flowers out to them, and writes notes to them and things like that. So if you love stuff like that, she's the person on that. We also have our gardening team headed up by Elizabeth, who also helped us with our stage this week, and so that's just our prayer gardens and all that stuff, and there's changes to coming to all that. She's heading up that team this year, so mulch to be spread and all that good stuff, and flowers to be planted. We have our greeting team, and that's headed up by Todd down here in the shadows behind Happy Glenn back here. And they just try to make you feel welcome. And we just say, hey, if you can smile and brush your teeth and not say, how are you doing? Because we don't have time for that on Sunday morning when you're walking in the doors. Don't say, how are you doing? Just say, welcome to Crossroads. Can I help you with anything? And if you can do those three things, you need to be on the greeting team. And so Todd's the man on that. And he looks like a good greeter. You're smiling like a happy greeter right there, Todd. Yep. And all right. Okay, and then after that, we have the information team. And Renee heads that up, and she's always back at the information counter. Her team is, and they just have a kind of a go sheet every week of all that's going on around Crossroads. And if you have any questions like, hey, when does small groups start? When does that happen? That's the people to go to. So if you have a guest coming in and they want to know about something we do, take them to the info center back there because they have all the info. They're pretty good at all that. So Renee heads that team up. And then we have our J6 students headed up by Eric Foshi, our student pastor. Eric also does, in addition to that, a lot of our technology stuff with the website and some of those kind of things, video and some of those types of things. He has a lot of that up for us as well. And then we have our kids stuff team headed up by Jill Dorman. And that's a big team, has a lot of different, there are a lot of different things you can do within that team. And she does a great job, a phenomenal job of leading them. And that's my favorite of all your kids stuff t-shirts. I'm glad you got rid of them. She used to have like this rust colored one. She said it was a fall color, and I said it does not work. All right. Okay, so anyway, that's kids stuff. And then our maintenance team, you already heard about that. Glenn does all that. Restoration team is my wife, Sharon, right down here in the shadows on this end. And so all of our Beth Shalom ministry, all that, she heads that up. She also heads up our worship arts, so pretty much anything that happens on this stage, the technology as far as video, light, sound, and all that stuff in this room, she works with all that as well. So Sharon wears a lot of different hats here at the church and does a great job with all of that. And then we have our security team. Where's Don? He might be out tasing somebody right now. Oh, there he is. Hey, you know why he had to stay back there? Because he's providing security. He had to be on guard, man. He's right there. And so we always say, if you like tasing people in the name of Jesus, he's the man to see, right there. And so our security team, Don heads that up. And then our staging team, Leanne, right here. Leanne heads it up. Leanne is also like our worship team mom. She's the one who keeps us all on track, or tries to anyway. We have a meeting at 7:15 every Sunday morning, and we're with Leanne, which Leanne begins with like this. Listen up, okay, and she gets all of our attention and gets us all tracking for our services, so hopefully they halfway flow, and she does a great job with all that and also heads up our staging team. And then also we have our nursery, and nursery is Sarah right here, Sarah Burley, does a great job back here in our Wee Stuff nursery, phenomenal there. Did I miss anybody? Got all of y'all? Okay, I'm going to ask you guys just kind of come together in the middle. And I'm going to ask Jay Swallow, our elder, to come up. And Jay, we first started meeting at Jay's house eons ago, way back before Jay and I had gray hair in our hair. So, but I'm going to ask Jay just to pray over us. Would you guys just stand with us? And would you guys just pray with us as we commission them? I just commission you guys to, again, lead with all diligence. Lead your teams with excellence. Lead them incredibly well. You know, go above and beyond to lead your teams with excellence and in a way that gives God glory. Excellence, we always say, inspires people, and it honors God. So just do what you do with excellence. And you've got a lot of people backing you and serving with you and praying for you. So Jay, if you would, let's just pray a commissioning prayer over them.
Lord Jesus, we lift up this group right here. And we just ask you to bless them. We just speak blessings over them today. Lord, we praise you for all the work they've put in already. And we thank you for all the neat and wonderful things you're going to do this year. We just consecrate them to you. We dedicate them to you. And we ask you to pour out your power and your spirit upon them, Lord, in ways that they will be able to rise to things and do things that they never thought they could do before. And we pray that it would all be to your glory, Lord, and it would reach so many more people and give them the freedom that you want to give them, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for how much you've blessed us. And we thank you for how much you're going to. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. So the next thing I want to just talk to you about is about you taking your next step. And if you want to serve on one of these teams, you feel like that maybe God is calling you to step up, and that would be the place where you can begin to make a difference at. The growth track really is the place for that. And part of our prayer that we're going to pray later is just that every person who calls Crossroads home would fully engage and then take their next step. And I just want you to kind of wrestle with that and bring that before God. God, what is my next step? If this is my church family, if this is who I'm connected with, what is my next step in this place? And that may be just put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've been wrestling with that, and it's time to make that decision and cross the line of faith yourself and say, yes, Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross was for me personally. And I know I've sinned, and I confess that, and I need it. So I confess, God, that you're the one who died for me. I confess that I needed that, and I put my faith in you. So we give you an opportunity to do that just about every Sunday morning. And the next step after that is baptism, and maybe along with that, step one of the growth track where we talk about baptism. So maybe that would be your next step. If that's already kind of happened for you, then maybe step two, where you say, what is this church really all about? You know, I've been going for a long time, but it's time to settle in and find out what they're about and figure out how I can be a part of that, then step two would be the place to go to. That would be the next step for you. And then to go from there to actually figuring out like what some of these people you just met do by going to the Make a Difference and just before that the Discover Purpose classes, step three and step four, where you can look at your own personality, you can look at your own spiritual gifts and begin to figure out kind of what direction those are pointing you in as far as an area to serve in, an area to make a difference in. So step three will help you with that. You don't have to just figure all that out on your own. Megan will help you walk through that and figure out what does that look like for you personally. And then in step four, if you'll let them know in step three who you'd like to talk to and where you're interested in serving, in step four, they will actually help you there connect with one of these ministry team leaders for the team that you're interested in serving on. So if you want to, you know, if you're interested in serving on the J6 team or the Kids Stuff team or greeting or security or whatever, we'll have them there at step four. So when you take that class on that fourth Sunday, they'll be there to tell you, hey, here's what it looks like to serve on security. Here's kind of what's required, and here's some things you need to think about. And then you can do a trial run with them and see if that's a good fit for you. If not, you go to another ministry team. Okay. The main thing is just figure out what is your next step. It may be to finally commit to and set aside the time and prioritize the time to be a part of a small group, a family group where you have some people that you could really get to know, and they can get to know you, and they're going to be there for you, and you're going to be there for them. And I tell you, this journey is tough enough, especially in our culture, to do with other people, but it's certainly very, very difficult if you're trying to just trot along and make it happen on your own. You were never designed by God to do faith solo. There are no Lone Ranger, you know, I like to say there are no Lone Ranger black ops, clandestine, solo operators out there in the faith. We're all called to be connected in the body. So becoming part of a small group when we do our ministry or our small group launch next week, that may be a place for you to take a next step. But figure out what your next step is and then do that. Go ahead and do what that next step is and act on that. Make a decision to go ahead and commit to that this year. And something else you could do if you want to, I think I put on the slide up there, just go and make a difference. I put in my notes, go away and make a difference. and specifically what I mean is go away with our teams either to Cuba or to Benin, West Africa, next summer. So we have a student option at the kind of that last week of June, first part of July. We're basically going to meet them with another team from Crossroads in the airport, most likely in Miami, and the plane they get off of, we'll probably get on, and we'll go back down. And some of our students may even stay for the whole 2 weeks down there to kind of help us out, since a lot of us will be clueless and never had been there before. So that's an option next summer. Late May, early June, there's the option to go to Benin in West Africa, which is also a phenomenal trip. So begin to pray about that. Prepare for that now. We have an information meeting coming up for the Africa trip here at the end of the month, so in a couple of weeks. So would love to have all of you go on one of those experiences, at least just one time in your life. It really changes the way you see the world. It changes the way you see faith. It changes the way you see yourself. It gives you a deep appreciation for what we have here and the blessings we have here and all that we get to enjoy here as a free nation. It's a phenomenal experience. So I just encourage you, all of you, to go at some point. And if you'd like to go this next summer, there'll be great opportunities to do that. So that's something you could do this year. Something else you could do that you could commit yourself to is to support our legacy partners. And I already talked about those locally, nationally, and internationally. So I will not hit that again. But we do have a lot of ministry partners, and again, 10% of non-designated money goes towards that. And then some of you designate money specifically to those, especially in December when we highlight a few of those as our the way we're going to kind of target our legacy giving that second Sunday in December when we give towards that. So that's something else you could do. Something else I just need to get some input from you on. Would everybody grab one of these, a communication card? They're in your seat backs right there. They're there every week. I need you to do two things. One, I'd like to know what your perspective would be or what you would prefer or what you think would work the best for a third service option. And we did that at Easter this past year. It worked really, really well. And there are a couple of different ways we could go with that. I'm thinking one option would be Sunday, something like 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30 for the service structure, maybe something like that. Or add a Saturday night service to what we're currently doing. What I need to know from you is just what do you think? And so on the back, either write Saturday or Sunday in the comment section there, okay? Something else you could do, if you have had any change to any of your information, cell phone, email address, physical address, any changes to any of your information, please let us know about that on the front of the card, okay? If you don't have any changes, we already have your information for your giving records and all of that. Don't worry about that. But if we don't have that information or if you've had to change your information, please fill out the front of the card. But even if you don't do that, please let me know what you think would be the best and what you'd prefer, an extra Sunday option or a brand new option on Saturday night. And we'll have you put those in the boxes as you head out in just a little bit. Okay, so thanks for your input on that. One other thing just to tell you about a couple of the little pieces here as far as what's coming up this next year is we'll continue to do Campus Excellence projects. We have Campus Excellence projects. We have several things we're trying to do here. We have signage outside that's going to be finishing up hopefully here in the next 3 weeks or so. We have things we're doing on the building exterior with some bricking and painting to make the exterior just look a lot better. And have kind of better curb appeal out there and bring it up to kind of current standards and codes for Moss Bluff. Although we don't have to do that because we're grandfathered in. We want to be a nice place. We want it to look good from the highway for people coming in. We want, when you invite your guests to come in, for them to say, okay, yeah, that's not the rat hole I thought it was or that it used to be. So we want them to feel good about that. And you to feel good about that as you invite your guests in. So we'll be doing that, some upgrades out there. We're doing sound and light upgrades in here. We'll do some worship center restroom upgrades in these restrooms here that are pretty much like they were other than some paint in 1971 when they were built. So we want to upgrade those a little bit and then the offices and the children's rooms out back. So those are all Campus Excellence projects. Honestly, once we've done that, that's probably about $120,000 worth of stuff that needs to be done. And so if God puts it on your heart to give towards that, just pray about that and give towards it, just designated as building. But once we have those things done, we will have done about all we can do with what we currently have here on site. And so what we're praying about beyond that is the Crossroads Community Center, and that would be another facility out back about the size of this building out there, but it'd be set up more as a gymnasium. It's a multi-use building that could be used as a disaster relief center. It could be used as a food pantry. It could be used for J6 student ministry. It could be used for a worship space if we needed it to be. It could be a gymnasium for our community use for upwards basketball, those types of things. So a lot we could do with that. Right now our students meet in here, so they kind of have to redo this room every week, and it's not ideal for them. So would love for them to have their own space and have some more space for some of the other things that we feel like God has called us to do here, a food pantry and some of those kinds of things. So just no room here for that. So the next step once we finish Campus Excellence is the bigger step of building something like that. And that will be kind of the next thing that we'll be talking about once we get past all the Campus Excellence stuff. So again, just begin praying about that. And if you're sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett, like the song says, you may not even know that song, and you already bought your boat and your truck and all that stuff and your Yeti 110, then you can go ahead and pray about maybe helping out with that and see if that's something God is calling you to. So just know those are some things we're considering and looking at. All right, so that's kind of looking back and looking at where God is leading us to in this next year. And I would just say beyond that, what we want to do is make sure everything we do is absolutely in alignment with God's will. And we pray so often here, God, I submit my will, my rights, and all control to you. And that's a prayer I pray individually over Terry Artizone, but that's also a prayer I pray over us as a church family. God, we submit our will, our rights, and all control to you. I don't want to just go out and do something in ministry. In the name of God, in the name of ministry, in the name of making a difference, I want to know where God is leading and follow him in that, I don't want to just prepare talks in here and do all that we do with our big idea team to be creative and have great staging and to do all the fun stuff that makes this a cool day and miss the presence of God, Everything we do here, I want it to be submitted to God, actually led by God on the front end. I very much want it just to be us joining God in what he is already doing, whether that's in Celebrate Recovery or J6 or any of our ministries. God, we just want to see where you're working and join you in that, and then you get all the credit for it. You get all the honor and glory for it. So the only way that happens, the only way we really get to look to God kind of with this bold faith is if we cry out for his anointing and for his presence in all that we do, everything we're called to, and for his blessing in everything that we're doing. So that's something we all have to do, is just understand that everything that happens here is spiritual, and not to neglect the spiritual side of things. We're going to work hard. We're going to lead well. We're going to do our part. We're going to do all those things. But the most important thing we do is pray. The most important thing we do is ask God, God, continue to lead us. Continue to make yourself known. Continue to make yourself great among us, God. This is all for you and you alone. It's all for your glory. So with that in mind, twice a year, we do our 21 days of prayer. And we do that always at the beginning of the ministry year, which we're starting, right now, basically. And we do that at the beginning of the physical year in January. And so that's why you see all the 21 days of prayer, all the orange stuff go up again twice a year. Is, oh yeah, it's time to really get focused on prayer. And we've been going in 1,000 different directions in the summer. And this is just our way of saying, and it's the same way at Christmas too, by the way. We go in 1,000 different directions over the holidays. But it's just our way at the beginning of the physical year and the beginning of our actual ministry year to say, God, we want to consecrate this totally to you. We want to seek you, God, completely. Now, in January, we always do the fasting piece with that. And so we had several upset children who saw the orange stuff Wednesday night and said, oh, no. Mom and Dad are going to start eating that weird food again. And, so you can do that now if you want to. Sharon and I are going to add fasting as a part of this. But this next 21 days. But we don't really ask you to do that as a whole church. So you pray about that. If you feel like it's something God wants you to do, then do that. We'll teach you more about that in December and definitely ask all of us to be a part of that in January. But for this 21 days of prayer, Megan made up these little door hangers, and you can put them on your visor. Sharon has it on her mirror in her van, which allows her to park in handicapped spots. It's amazing. And I said, no, don't do that. If they go to give you a ticket, just say, hey, I prayed about it. And, you talk to God, but do not give me a ticket. And see how that goes. And let me know how that goes. Okay, so, but anyway, these are going to hang on your mirrors in your vehicles or put them on your visor. You can put them on the door somewhere. But someplace where you'll see them just to remind you to pray about these things. So for the next 3 weeks, we're asking you to pray for three specific areas. And we talk to our intercessors about this. We talk to our staff about this and just different ones and say, hey, what are some areas you feel like God is saying you need to pray about that this next season? And one that came up in a couple of different settings was, hey, we have a lot of marriages that are under attack. And it may not look like it on Sunday morning when everybody's out there smiling and paying attention, we hope. But we have a lot of marriages that are under a tremendous amount of stress and a tremendous amount of pressure. And some that are borderline on if they're even going to make it, And we just want to pray for our marriages to be restored to all God designed them to be. For us to love each other so well that our marriages thrive. And so I'm just praying specifically against everything the enemy's trying to do to mess up your home and to mess up your marriage and to mess up your relationships. And praying that all that God's trying to do to teach you about forgiveness and love and sacrifice and how you're there for a lifetime, that love is a lifetime commitment, not a short-term emotion, that you would get all that and grow and all that and thrive and all that, and that you would fall back in love again, Begin to pray that over your marriage and our marriages in our church family, okay? So we just feel like that's an area God said, hey, you need to pay attention to this one this season. One of my pastors, who's been like a long-distance mentor to me, it came out in the news this year that this past couple of weeks that he's failed miserably in his own ethics and morality and is basically losing everything in his whole ministry, his reputation, and 40 years of building a great ministry and a great church is down the tube. 14-year affair, all kinds of stuff going on. I can't imagine what his marriage is, if he even has one still, is like. And just highlighted again when I was reading through all that Thursday and Friday when a couple of people, friends in ministry, sent me, hey, did you hear what happened to Bill? And like, no, I did not. And reminded me again, man, we got to fight for our marriages. And we begin by fighting for our marriages with our prayers. So pray for one another and pray for your own home. Make that a significant place of prayer. We've never had that as a highlight before for a prayer focus for our 21 days, but we just feel like this time it absolutely needs to be. So pray for our marriages to be restored to all God designed them to be. Pray for each person who calls Crossroads home to fully engage and take their next step, and you just heard me explain all that. So we're just praying. Jesus said, hey, don't pray that more people get saved. He said, the harvest is ready. He said to pray for laborers for the harvest. In other words, pray that more people step up and serve and do what I created them to do. That's the problem. The problem's not that there are people out there who are on the way to hell who really don't want to go to hell. The harvest is ready. there just aren't enough people engaged taking in the harvest. So pray for laborers for the harvest. So we're praying for that, for every person who calls Crossroads home to fully engage and take their next step. And then number three, the most important, I think, is for all to authentically experience God's presence in our services. For every person who comes here, Billy Jones always prays, you know, when they even drive by, God, let them feel your presence. Let something draw them here. And honestly, in every ministry, that's our prayer. When they show up to that small group, they might get some good food. If they go to the bushes, they'll get some great food. And they might get loved on really well, and they might get some good teaching, or they may go exercise together, and all that's good. But more than anything else, I hope they experience God's presence. I hope they say, there's something different about those people. It was the living God. There's something about them that I want. I hope when they come into this space, when they get greeted by those greeters at the door, when their children get checked in well, when they have a great time out back in kids' stuff, that those kids experience back there, and they experience in J6 the presence of God. And they can't even necessarily say what it was. They're like, I knew that was real. I knew it was from God. And when you come in here, when you come into this space, that you experience His presence. And actually, those of you who are Christ followers, as we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, you bring His presence, because His presence comes when you choose to worship, when you celebrate Him, when you give Him glory and honor. That's when His presence comes. God inhabits, dwells in, lives in the praises of His people, as what Scripture tells us. So we're the ones who actually bring His presence here for everyone else to get to enjoy, right, with our praise and worship. So let's just pray for all to authentically experience God's presence in our services. And along the way, you know, we're going to pray for those who are far from God. We're going to pray for other needs as they come up on our prayer cards and all of that. But we're going to consistently say, God, let them experience You. Make that a highlight prayer for us. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to close out today by doing two things. We're going to pray specifically over these things that we just talked about. And, you know, I encourage you to pray. Don't just listen to me pray. That doesn't accomplish anything. So don't even listen to me. When the band starts singing, join them in that song. We sing Look to the Sun again, because He's the one we're looking to for all of this. We're going to celebrate who Jesus is, and that He's the one we're looking to for all that He's leading us into this year. So you join in that, but meanwhile, don't worry about what I'm saying. You just pray to God on behalf of your family, your marriage, this ministry, your next step, God's presence. You begin to pour out your heart for those things. Okay, let's pray together. God, first of all, just thank You. It's just so humbling to be a part of what You are doing. So humbling to think that You would entrust, you know, what Scripture talks about, broken vessels like us, with Your holy work on the planet, right here in our community. God, for what You have done this year, for the ways You provided, the ways You blessed. I thank You for the many who've been saved and baptized. I thank You, God, for working in the hearts of those who, as they brought some of their greatest, most difficult experiences in life just out into the open, Lord. You brought restoration. God, for how in every ministry we just see You doing amazing things with our women's ministry, what You've done in their small group, what You've done in their if gathering, what You've done, God, in the ways they've come together just to be there for each other and love one another, what You're doing through our small groups, homes and groups of exercise together, groups that meet here on site, and God, what You're doing in pulling us together and helping us find freedom as we learn to trust one another and love one another well. I think what You're doing in our students, God, how they're raised up as leaders, as disciples, but also as disciplers. And God, we get to see that in them. And I thank You for that. Thank You for what You're doing in my son. And God, what You continue to do in their lives, it just amazes me, Lord. So God, we give You all the glory. I mean, every single bit of it, God. We don't want to take any of it. May zero of that go to any of us who lead here or serve here. That go to Crossroads and stuff. May every single bit of that go to You, Jesus Christ. May it all go to You, Holy Spirit. May it all go to You, Holy Spirit.